Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Samach Ted Amud Bet, 12 lines up from the bottom. Gemara starts, Tanu Rabbanan, Shnei Masar Dvarim, Shalu Anche Alexandria et Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinano or ben Chananya. That there were 12 items that the people of Alexandria asked for an answer from Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinano ben Chananya. Gimel Divrei Chochma, 3 of them were issues about halachic topics. Gimel Divrei Agada, 3 of them were issues about Agadato, explanations of psukim or understandings of drash. Givel Divrei Burot, 3 of them, as Rashi says, were Divrei Shtut, not they were Shtut, but they were misunderstandings on their part. And Gimel Divrei Derech Eretz, and 3 of them were proper conduct. So here we go, Gimel Divrei Chachma, what were the 3 halachic questions that they had for him? And that's why it relates to our Mishnah, because one of those questions is about our Mishnah, which is Azav v'azavah v'nidah v'yoledet v'mitzurah shemetu. Ad matay mitamim b'masa, until when do they have this classification of being tamei b'masa? Amar lahen, ad shimoka basar. He responded to them like our Mishnah says, until the flesh has decayed, decomposed, then they have a din of tumat masa midrabanan, as we saw in the previous Gemara, in the cases of Evan Misma. Next question was, bat mishulechet mahi lekohen. Bat mishulechet is a woman who was divorced from an individual and then had married another man. After she had married this other man, she returns to her original husband. That's called machzir gushuto, the returning of his divorced wife. He's allowed to return his divorced wife if she never gets involved or never marries anyone else. But if she marries someone else in the interim, that is not the case. And in that instance, she may not marry him any longer. The question is, if she does remarry him, what's her status in terms of the kuhuna now? Mi amrinan kal v'chomer, do we say it's a kal v'chomer? Uma almana the kohen gadol, a widow who marries a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol is only allowed to marry a betula mi amav, a woman who was never married, who's a virgin. She'ein isura shave bakol. By her, that's only related to a kohen gadol and an almana, bina pagum. Yet, her offspring is pagum. Zu, si yishura shave bakol. Over here, this Yisro applies not just to Kohen Gadol, applies to all of Yisro, applies to anybody. This same din applies equally across the board. Then, Eino Din Shibina Pagum, certainly her offspring should be problematic, the Kuna. Odilma, or maybe we say, Mala Amana Kohen Gadol Shi Atzma Mitchalelet. By an Amala Kohen Gadol, she is affected by the Bi'a of the Kohen Gadol. As Rashi points out over here, she becomes a Chalala, and by becoming a Chalala, she may no longer marry a Kohen. And number 2 is, if she was entitled to eat truma, she may no longer eat truma. So the woman is affected, therefore her offspring are affected. But over here, by the divorcee who remarries her ex-husband after she has been involved in another relationship, over there the woman herself was not mitchalelet. She does not become a chalala. So now you're asking, should her child offspring be problematic for the kohen when she herself is not problematic for the kohen? So Amalhen, he toiva. Ve'ein banea toavim. Pasuk says about a person who takes back his grushato, says, ki toivahi. She is a toiva. And they darshan from that she has the status of toiva. Her marriage is inappropriate, but her children are not affected by her marriage, and therefore her children are ksherim lekuna. Third question that they asked is, shnei mitzurim shenit arvu karbonotem zebazeh. You have 2 people who are mitzurim, and their karbonot got mixed up one with the other. Vikarev karbonot shel echad mehem. One of them had their karbonot brought. Umet echad mehem, and one of them died. Hasheni matei lav. What do we do with the second mitzora? So you have 2 mitzorahim. They bring their karbonot. Half of the karbonot were put on. The other half were not put on, and then one of them dies. How do we deal with this second mitzora who's still around, with the possibility that the karbonot that are there are his, and he has yet to bring his karbonot? Or maybe the karbonot belong to the one who passed away, and we can't bring them because he passed away. So what do we do in that case? Amar lahen, the first thing he does is he gives away all of his possessions and makes himself into a poor person. The reason that he does that is because it changes his status. The karbonot of the mitzorah are olev yored. They change based on the economic ability of the individual to pay for them. If he's an ashir, he ends up bringing 3 behemot. If he's a ani, he brings 1 behema and 2 ofot. One of the ofot is an ola, which we know can always be brought bisafek. One of the birds is a chatat. And when it comes to behema, chatat cannot be brought bisafek. But a oaf can be brought. So if he switches over to being an ani, he'll end up bringing birds instead of animals. And when you have a safek chatat by an animal, you may not bring it, but you have a safek chatat by a bird, he can bring it. So that'll help out the situation. Where it says, ve'ikasham. You still have the asham. You took care of the ola, which could have been taken care of anyway. The chatat, now you took care of because you made it into a safek chatat oaf. But the Asham remains an animal, and he has to bring this Asham, and Asham is not brought to Safek. Amar Shmuel, Karev Ashamo. His Asham was already brought. Meaning that both Ashamot were already brought. We're just left with the Chatat and the Olah that needed to be brought. And because of that, we can now fix the problem and make him into an Ani, and he'll bring birds for that Chatat and Olah. Amar Rav Sheshet, Gavra Rabba, Kishmuel, Lema, Kihai Milta. Great man like Shmuel would give such an answer. Come on, who is he holding like? We actually seen this before a number of times. There's a three-way machloket as to what is koveya, what determines for the mitzorah. Out of those three karbanot, which are the karbanot, or even beforehand, before he gets to the process of the karbanot, he has to be mitayer himself in order to count the 7 days before he brings the karbanot. That tara with the two birds that they send out in the field, one of these processes is koveya for the mitzorah. So that's a three-way machloket. Ikar Rabbi Yehuda, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, damar sham kava. So if the Asham is the determining factor in what makes him into an Ani or Ashir, then we came into Kavala Asham, Be'ashirut, since he already brought the Asham, and he was determined to be an Ashir, Lomatzei Meiti Chatat Bidalut. He can't bring the birds now because he's already classified as being a rich person, not as a poor person. De'tanan, we have a Mishnah. Now even though in the Mishnah not all this information is brought, some of this is from the Mishnah, other of it's from his Abraita. Nevertheless, since the part that we're really interested in comes from the Mishnah, the Gemara said Ditanan, even though it could be Ditanya, because some of the extra information at the end of it really comes from a Braita. It says, Mitzorah, Shevi Korbanani, Ve'ashir. He brought a Korbanani, and then he became rich. O Ashir, or if he was rich, Ve'ani, and he became poor. Hakol, Oleich, Achar, Chatat, Divi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's all determined by when you bring the Chatat. Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi, Merakol, Oleich, Achar, Asham. It says it's all determined by when you bring the Asham. Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, Merakol, Oleich, Achar, Tziporim. Everything is determined by the Tziporim that are brought in the beginning of the Torah process for the Mitzorah. Once he's brought those, that's the determining point. Now they all darshan it from the same Pasuk. We saw that in Masechet Kretot. It says, Asher lo tasig yado b'tarato. So that he doesn't have the ability to pay for his tahara. What is the item that is mitahar him? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says the tahara process begins with the two birds that start the 7 day count. So that's called the tahara process. Rabbi Yehuda says that it goes after the asham mitzorah. That is what particularly belongs to the mitzorah. That's where the damim are placed on him from. That's the korban that makes the determining of the tahara. And Rabbi Yehuda says it has to do with the chatat. That's the kapara that's brought here, and the chatat is the determining factor. V'ikar Rabbi Shimon, so clearly it can't be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So now maybe he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Damar chatat kava, that the chatat is the determining factor. Afagav delo karev asham. Even if the asham was not brought, neiti acher. Da hashaminan le Rabbi Shimon, damar laiti velitne. They'll bring another one and put it on the mizbeach. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, you can bring an asham ala safek. So then why did Shmuel give the answer that he already brought his asham? Well, even if he brought his asham, right, it doesn't determine in terms of his being an ani or ashir. Because Rabbi Shimon says it's determined by the Chatat. Nevertheless, why does he have to bring the Asham at all? If it's Rabbi Shimon has a solution to this problem of bringing Asham b'safek. D'tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon l'macharat, mevi Ashamo v'lo go. The next morning he brings his Asham and his log. This is a case where he has a safek about being a Nazir, Mitzora, all different types of safekot. Now he's dealing with this Asham. How do you bring an Asham b'safek? Umamido b'shar niknor. Put it by the shar niknor, which is what you do with the Asham mitzora. Umatne alav. And he makes a condition. If he is a mitzorah, this korban is an asham, and the oil that's brought with it is the log that needs to be brought with the asham mitzorah. Bimlav, asham yehei shalmei nidava. Then this asham instead should be a shlamim. And asham and a shlamim have the exact same dinim in terms of animals that can be brought. I mean, asham only comes from the male. Shlamim can be brought from males and females, but you can bring it from males. In addition to that, their blood is put on the zbeach shtayin shein arba, which is the same din. So therefore, they can look exactly alike. One of them is Kodshim Kodashim, and one of them is Kodshim Kalim. So that difference we'll have to make up for. But at least you could make a Tanai and say, this is an Asham or a Shlamim. Voto Asham. Now, what do you do with this Asham? Number one, it's Ta'un Shchitato B'Tzafon. You shecht it in the north, because an Asham is a Kodshim Kodashim, which requires Shchita in the north. So, Enoch and Ami, if you shecht Shlamim in the north, that's fine. So you shecht it in the north, so you cover both of them. Ta'un Matan B'Nehun Not. You can take the Damim and place it onto the thumbs and the big toes of the mitzorah, because that's what you need to do with the damim of an asham, even though by a shlamim you wouldn't need that, but fine, you can do that with smicha, and you do smicha on this korban. So a shlamim requires smicha, and asham, Rashi says, does not require smicha. That's not entirely true. Tosafot says that ashamot do require smicha. It might be that the asham mitzorah requires a particular type of smicha, or smicha is only derabanan, but there is some difference here. So you do smicha because it could be a shlamim. Unisachim, you bring nisachim with it, because shlamim require nisachim, and ashamot do not require nisachim. Once again, by Neshama Tzora, you do require Nisachim. So the Bright is mentioning it because it's different. Most Hashemot don't require Nisachim, even though this Hashem in particular does require Nisachim. Utnufat Chazeh V'Shok, you do the wave offering of the Chazeh V'Shok, which is done to Eishlamim. Nechal Zichrei Kuhuna, the Yom V'Laylo. And it's eaten by the male Kohanim, which is the din of an Asham, because it's a Kodshei Kodashim. So Shla Kodshim Kalim can also be eaten by the Zichrei Kuhuna. The Yom V'Laylo for a day and a night, like the Asham. Shlamim, like the Kodshim Kalim, can be eaten for 2 days and one night. Veloho Dulo Chachamim, the Chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Shimon's permission. The Rabbi Shimon Mipnei, Shmevi Kodshim Lebeit Psul, because you accelerate the time frame in which Kodshim will now become Pasul. The Shlamim really could be eaten for 2 days and one night. Instead, you're limiting its time to 1 day and one night. And because of that, we don't allow it. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you're allowed to be Mevi Kodshim Lebeit Psul. So Gemara says, Shmuel Sover like Rabbi Shimon Bechado, Paligalei Bechado. He agrees with Rabbi Shimon in one instance and disagrees with him in the other instance. He agrees with them that the Koveya here is the Chatat and not the Asham, and therefore he could bring the Asham beforehand. He disagrees with Rabbi Shimon that you can't bring an Asham al Asafek. You can't bring an Asham al Tanai between an Asham and Shlamim. So therefore Shmuel says the case here is a case where he already brought the Asham and he's not determined to be an Ani or Shir yet because that's determined like Rabbi Shimon by the Chatat. So therefore he'll give away all of his possessions. He's already brought the Asham so we don't have to worry about a Safek Asham anymore. And then he'll bring the Ofot for the Ola and the Chatat which can be brought al Asafek. An Ola because it can be brought as a Nedava and the Chatat because a Safek Chatat Of is allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach because none of it ends up in the Mizbeach except for the Damim. So that's allowed to be brought and that'll be the solution to the problem because he doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon's position that you're allowed to bring an Asham al Safek doing it with the Shlamim. So those are the three halachic questions that were posed by the people of Alexandria. Now, Shlosha Divrei Agadah. Three areas where they wanted to understand Drashat HaPsukim or understand the Agadat HaKetuvah HaOmer. One Pasuk says, Ki lo echpot b'mot ha-meit. Shem says, we say this, by Ne'ilo on Yom HaKippurim, that Hashem doesn't want person to pass away. Hashem wants them to live and he wants them to do what's right. B'Ketuvah HaOmer, but we have another Pasuk says, Ki chavesh Hashem la'amitam, by Bnei Li, who are not doing the right thing. It says that Hashem wanted to kill them. So therefore, they do not listen to their father's chastisements because Hashem wants them to end up dead. So how is it possible? One place Hashem says that he wants people to survive, another place he says he wants them to die. Gemara says, Kan bo sim tshuva, kan mishen osim tshuva. The difference between whether they do tshuva or they don't do tshuva. In a case where they do tshuva, Hashem wants them to survive. In a case where they don't do tshuva, then he doesn't want them to live. There's no reason for them to live. They're not doing the right thing. And on top of that, they're not willing to change their ways. They're not willing to rectify the situation. So therefore Hashem says, I want them to die. In the other instance, even when they've done something wrong, Hashem wants them to live because he says they're going to rectify their ways. They're going to change their ways. They're going to do tshuva. So Tosfos mentions over here, the Gemara here gives the answer, Kan bo se tshuva, kan shelo se tshuva. Yet we find in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it says, Gedola tshuva shemkeret gezar dino shel adam. That tshuva can rip up the gezar din. And then the Gemara there asks, is that really true? And the Gemara there differentiates between the gezar din of a yachid and the gezar din of the rabbim. When it comes to the Tzibur, they can uproot the Gzar Din. When it comes to a Yachid, he cannot upend the Gzar Din. Yet, our Gemara seems to say that if you do Tshuva, it can even help after the Gzar Din. You have to say here that we're talking about after Gzar Din, because before Gzar Din, it's of course Hashem accepts Tshuva. So it has to be here that we're talking about after the Gzar Din, and yet the Tshuva still helps. And that's in a stira to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfot says, you must say over here, that this is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, who says, Yafet Tzaka, Ben Kodem Gzar Din, Ben Achar Gzar Din, that he thinks that Tshuva helps, even for Yachid before Gzar Din and after Gzar Din. And this Gemara follows that position of Rabbi Yitzchak, that Tshuva is always good, even for the Yachid before and after the Gzar Din. So the next question is, Katuv Echad Omer, Kilo Isa Panim, Evelo Yikach Shochad, that Hashem cannot be swayed by bribery. Katuv Echad Omer, and the Pasuk by Birkat Kohanim says, Isa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem will turn his favor towards you. So now, beautifully, as Tosafot points out, in the Pashtut HaPasuk, there's really no stira over here, because Kilo Isa Panim Lo Yikach Shochad is specific, that Hashem will not be bribed or swayed. On the other hand, when it says, Isa Hashem Panav Elecha, it doesn't say that Hashem will be bribed, it just says that Hashem will favor you and give favor towards you. It doesn't indicate that he can be bribed to do that, it just means that he will find favor. Nevertheless, the Gemara poses it as a stira. An answer is kan kodem gzar din, kan achar gzar din. Depends if it's before the judgment or after the judgment. Before the judgment, Hashem can be swayed. After the judgment, Hashem cannot be swayed. Tosafot right away asks, well, how can that be? Because Gemara in Brachot asks the exact same question, and the Gemara in Brachot gives a different answer. It says, one is talking about Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, who are mitdaktakim and mitzvot, even more so than HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires of them, Hashem gives them nisiat panim. On the other hand, the Ovdei Kochavim that don't, he doesn't give nisiat panim. So why is it that over here the Gemara gives the answer of Kodem Gzmar Din, Achar Gzmar Din, and the Gemara in Brachot gives a different answer of one is talking about Bnei Yisrael, and one's talking about the Ovdei Kochavim. So Tosfot says, well, maybe it's both. You can put them together, and you'll come up with a joint answer. The answer is that Kodem Gzar Din, before the Gzar Din, Bnei Yisrael have the ability to change it and to be Isapanim, not to bribe Hashem, but to convince Hashem not to punish them by doing tshuva, by changing their ways. And because of that unique status of Bnei Yisrael, they're given the ability to do tshuva. Whereas the Ovdei Kochavim are not given that. After the Gzar Din, everybody's equal. After the Gzar Din, nobody gets any favors. And once the Gzar Din is done, you can't rectify it, you can't undo it. The only problem with that is that the way Tosfot reconciles here, it means that the Ovdei Kochavim have no opportunity to do tshuva. Because here, both Kodem Gzar Din and Achar Gzar Din, Hashem is not Noseh Panim. If that's the case, you have some difficulties in Tanakh, where we see that there are Ovdei Kochavim that do tshuva, and Hashem accepts their tshuva. So what you probably have to say is that the Nesiat Panim over here is not just doing tshuva, but it says that Hashem is favorably disposed to that tshuva, and that Hashem accepts it, meaning that he sees the sincerity of these individuals because they always act lifnei mishurat hadin, and therefore Hashem wants to act with them lifnei mishurat hadin. We know this from Hashem's midot reflect the midot of the individual. So it's the fact that Bnei Yisrael act lifnei mishurat hadin, Hashem will also act with them lifnei mishurat hadin, and he'll be much more ready to do such because he knows of their behavior. When it comes to the Ovdei Kochavim that don't necessarily act lifnei mishurat hadin, Hashem is going to be much more reluctant to do it unless he sees that there is true tshuva, there's really something that's changed. The Bnei Yisrael might get an easier threshold in terms of doing tshuva than the Ovdei Kochavim because of this issue of lifnei mishurat hadin. The third question they asked him was, Ketuv Echad Omer Ki Bechar Hashem B'Tzion, Hashem has chosen Tzion, chosen Yerushalayim, Ketuv Echad Omer Ki Ala Pi Va'ala Chamati Haita Li Ha'ir Hazot, the Min Yom Asher Banu Ota Ve, there's a verb missing, Ve'ad Hayom Hazeh, that Hashem said that I've been angry with this city, I've never liked this city. When he's talking about Yerushalayim, he's talking about Yirmiyahu over there, that Yirmiyahu should tell the people to buy land and so on and so forth, because he's going to come back, but he's going to destroy the city because he's never liked it from the day it was built. So how come one pasuk says Hashem likes the city and chose this city, and then over here it says Hashem never liked this city? Where it says, difference is, Kan Kodem Shnasa Shlomo Et Bat Paro, Kan Le'achar Shnasa Shlomo Et Bat Paro. That was before Shlomo married Bat Paro. That was after Shlomo married Bat Paro. Before Shlomo married Bat Paro, Hashem had chosen the city, and that was both the political capital and the spiritual capital of Klal Yisrael. Once Shlomo made the mistake and did that inappropriate thing of marrying Bat Paro, then Hashem already said the seeds of the downfall of Yerushalayim have already been planted. That's the beginning, as the Navi tells us, of the Avodah Zarah being worshipped in Yerushalayim. And from then on, there have been problems with Avodah Zarah throughout the times of Yerushalayim, throughout Malchei Yehuda, except for a couple exceptions like Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Otherwise, you have huge problems with the kings of Yehuda. Okay, Gemara continues. Now, these are the Shlosha Divrei Burut, these three things that were Divrei Shtut, are things where they misunderstood the situation. Ishto Shalot, Ma'u Shetitama. The wife of Lot, can she be Mitameh? Tamalem, mate Mitameh, vein Nitziv Melech Mitameh. What's the question here? A mate is mitameh. She's not a mate. She turned into a pillar of salt. Now Tosfot points out over here that you could be mitayek from this, that if she wasn't a pillar of salt, she would be mitameh. And even mitameh be'ohel. And Tosfot this proves something that he has said other places in Shas, which is that before Matan Torah, that all mateim were mitameh be'ohel. Not just Jews are mitameh be'ohel, but any mate is mitameh be'ohel. After Matan Torah, then there's this distinction between Atem Kriim Adam ve'em lo Kriim Adam, that only Jews are mitamei be'ohel, but non-Jews are not mitamei, only mitamei be'maga umasa. Ben Shunamit, that Elisha brought back to life, ma'u shitamei. Is he mitamei? He died, so now he's back to life, should he be mitamei? So then, mate mitamei ve'en chai mitamei. That someone who dies is mitamei, he's alive. So what's the question over here? Meitim latid avo, tzrichim azash lishi v'shvi, o ein tzrichim? The Meitim, when they come back to life in Tchiyat HaMeitim, where they require the Parah Adumah to be sprinkled on them on the third and seventh day to take away the Tumata Meit. And then, when they come back to life, we'll discuss that issue, we'll take care of it. Some say, when Moshe shows up with them, then we'll discuss the issue. Those that ask, why didn't they ask the same question by the Ben Shunamit? Why didn't they ask by the Ben Shunamit that they should sprinkle on him on Shlishi and Shvi'i? So he says, maybe because Latid Labo, by the Pasuk in Yechezkel, says, by Tchiyat HaMeitim, Zerakti Aleichem Mayim Torim. So therefore, they wanted to know, is that Zrika Parah Duma, or is that just a figurative Zrika? But the Ben HaShlumit, they knew for sure, did not require a Hazaah. The other question that can be asked is, what were they thinking? Of course, he's alive. And of course, he's going to be alive. What are they thinking? So it might be that their conception of Tchiyat HaMeitim was that it had to be that Hashem didn't bring back to life somebody that was dead, but rather he somehow, either through an illusion or the fact that he was never dead, that's why he came back to life by the Ben HaShlumit. And that's why they're asking the question. Either he's really dead and this is an illusion, or he never really died. So that's the question they're asking. And along comes Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya and answers, he's fully alive. There's no illusions here. He's fully alive. Now, Shlosha Divrei Derech Eretz, they asked about three things that had to do with proper conduct. Ma'aseh Adam v'Yachkam. What should a person do in order to become wise? Amalem, Yerbeb Yeshiva, Yameit Bischora. He should learn a lot, sit in yeshiva, learn a lot, and reduce the amount he spends on his pursuit of business opportunities and parnoso. Amru arbe asukim v'lo yilahem. Many people tried that path and it didn't work. Eliyavaktu rachamim imishach ma'ashalo. That you should ask, you should daven to Hashem and ask for chokhmah. Shneemar, ki Hashem yiten chokhmah mipiv datu tfuna. So that Hashem is the one who grants chokhmah. Tani Rabbi Chiya, mashal da melech basar v'dam, shasa suhuda l'avadav. It's similar to a king who makes a party for all of his servants. Shagir lo'avav mimashal lefanav, and he sends out gifts to his beloved ones from what's here. So too, Hashem gives out chokhmah to the ones that he loves. So my kamash malon, what is that teaching us? Daha b'loha lo sagyo. That one without the other doesn't work. You need to do your ishtadlut. You need to sit and you need to learn and you need to put your mind to it. But you also need siyata dishmaya in order to have that chokhmah. So the second question they ask is, ma'aseh adam yitasher? What should a person do in order to become wealthy? Amar lahen. Now the Gra takes out this girsa, which makes a lot of sense. It says here, yirbe b'skora. He should do a lot of business. The Gra wipes this out. It says, just be yisav yiten b'umuna. That he should just deal justly and properly in his business. That he should be honest, and he should conduct himself in a manner that's appropriate and within the guidelines of Allah Khan, even l'fnei mishurat hadin. So amalu arbe asukim b'lo hilu. Many people tried that path and it didn't work. Ela yivakesh rachamim m'sheh osha shalo. Should ask for parnosa me'et Hashem. Shneamar li'akesef li'azav. That gold and silver belong to me, Hashem says. So Hashem's the one who distributes it to others. My kamash malan. Again, what's that teaching us? Tahabaloha losagi. Doesn't work one without the other. You need both. You need to act appropriately. You need to conduct yourself in business in a proper manner, in a manner that is a kiddush Hashem, and one that is of honesty and proper midot. But in addition to that, you also have to daven to Hashem that he helped you in that situation. So may I say Adam Yelo Banim Zcharim, what should a person do in order to have male children? Amalam Yisaisha Haugenetlo. Should marry a woman who is appropriate for him. Bikadesha Shmo Bishat Tashmish. And he should be Sanua at the time that he has Tashmish. Amru Arbu Asukim Velo Yilu. Many people tried that path and it didn't work. Eli Vakesh Rachamim Shabanim Shalo. He should daven to Hashem to ask for it. Shneamar Hine Nachlat Hashem Banim B'Skar Pri Abot. And that Hashem is the one who determines the children. So my Kamashalan, again, what is he teaching us? You need to do both. You need to, number one, act in an appropriate manner. You have to marry the appropriate woman. In addition to that, you have to daven to Hashem. My Skar Pri Botin. What does that mean? That it's the reward. That the children are the reward for the pre-button. This is what we saw earlier in the Masechta. Shemishayin atzman bebeten. That they hold themselves back. They only are mazriya. Kadesha tazriya ishto tchila. After their wife has already been mazriya. Tein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu schar pre-button. The reward is that Hashem gives him the banim scharim. And this accords what we saw earlier in the Masechta. That when the woman is mazriya first, then the child that is born from that conception will be a ben zachar. When the man mazriya first, then the conception leads to a female. So here the Gemara says that the schar of being mishaheb b'pri boten, the schar of waiting for the woman to be mazriya first, will result in them having a ben zachar. Okay, we'll stop over here.